Good morning and welcome to our podcast. My name is Peter Jennings and I'm the marketing executive here at Sintons. Today I'm joined by my colleague Charlotte Johnson, who is a solicitor in our real estate team. The podcast today will last approximately 10 to 15 minutes and is one of three podcasts we are bringing you concentrating on the Building Safety Act. So without any further ado, I'll hand over to Charlotte. Charlotte, good morning, and over to you.
The Building Safety Act received royal assent on the 28th of April, 2022. Myself and my colleague Alex Wilkins will be doing a series of articles on the Act as it's a very current topic. We've already published the first of one of three articles, which deals with some of the provisions which have already come into force. So a brief overview of the Act. This was introduced in response to the Grenfell Tower fire in June 2017. And the main aim of the Act is to secure the safety of people in or about buildings and to improve the standard of buildings generally. So the provisions of the Act apply to the full lifetime of a building. And this is from the design and construction phase to the subsequent occupation of a building. And secondary legislation is required to implement various measures over the next 12 to 18 months. But as mentioned, there are some provisions which have already come into force. And these are the ones that we're going to be speaking about today. So one of the first things that the Act does is it brings into force Section 38 of the Building Act 1984. So this section wasn't originally brought into force when the Building Act received royal assent, but it is being brought into force now by the Building Safety Act. And this section creates a statutory claim for breach of building regulations where physical damage has been suffered. Prior to Section 38 coming into force, an injured party would only be able to rely on one of three avenues in order to bring a claim for damage sustained as a result of building regulations. So the first one would have been an express term within a contract that the works being carried out will be carried out in accordance with statutory requirements. The second is an implied term that any works will be carried out in a good and workmanlike manner and using materials that are fit for purpose. And the third is an implied term that the works will be carried out in accordance with building regulations. So what Section 38 does is it takes away the need to rely on an express or implied term within a contract and actually creates a statutory claim pursuant to the Act. It's important to note with this that it's only possible to pursue a claim for physical damage under Section 38. So examples of this are injury to a person or damage to property. So pure financial loss is not recoverable under a Section 38 claim. And a claim can be brought by anybody for up to 15 years following completion of the relevant works. And these provisions apply to all buildings in England and Wales to which the building regulations apply. And this is pretty significant because a lot of the Building Safety Act deals with higher risk buildings, which are buildings over 18 metres or seven stories in height and made up of at least two residential dwellings. But Section 38 applies to any building which the building regulations apply. So this isn't just dealing with high rise buildings. The second thing that the Act does is it has brought in specific changes to the Defective Premises Act 1972. So Section 1 of the Act already imposes a duty on anyone undertaking works on a dwelling to ensure that works are undertaken in a workmanlike manner, using proper materials, and so as to ensure that a dwelling is fit for habitation. And this duty is owed by the person undertaking works to the person who commissioned the dwelling, and also every person who subsequently acquires a legal interest in that dwelling or an equitable interest. So Section 1 only applies to the provision of a dwelling, and this includes the construction of new dwellings or the conversion of an existing building into a new dwelling, and it doesn't apply to any works undertaken to an existing dwelling. So it's important here to recognise that this only applies to dwellings and not every building, as with Section 38. So Building Safety Act has extended the limitation period for claims under Section 1 from 6 years to 15 years prospectively and 30 years retrospectively. And this is huge because it means that claims can be made in relation to works that were completed up to 30 years prior to the Act coming into force. So obviously there is a potentially huge liability for developers and contractors in terms of retrospective claims. So the Act provides two safeguards for this. And the first of these safeguards is if a claim breaches a defendant's human rights, it must be dismissed. And the second is that any claim that has been previously settled or finally determined within a court cannot be recommenced as a result of the extended limitation period. So this really only applies to new claims in relation to works that were completed in the last 30 years. So the government have also recognised that there may be some individuals who are coming close to that 30-year mark, at the point when the Act received royal assent. And so what they've done is they've also included a 1 year sort of buffer, if you like, which means that any claims that are coming up to that 30-year limitation period have an additional year in which those claims can be brought. And that the final change that the Act makes to the Defective Premises Act is that it introduces a new Section 2A. And this extends the scope of the Act to allow a party to bring a claim in respect of works undertaken to a dwelling in the course of a business. So you'll note that that doesn't refer to the provision of a dwelling. And this means that works such as refurbishment works to an existing dwelling are caught by this section. And claims can be brought pursuant to this section for a period of 15 years. And that's prospectively only. Retrospective claims cannot be brought under Section 2A. The final thing that we're going to discuss today is building liability orders. So the Act introduced this concept, which permits the High Court in England and Wales to extend specific liabilities of a company or an LLP, so an incorporated body, to an associated company or LLP. And this ensures that they are jointly and severally liable for a claim under Section 38 of the Building Act, Sections 1 and the new Section 2A of the Defective Premises Act, and also any claim relating to a building safety risk. So the Act defines a building safety risk as a risk to the safety of people in or about a building arising from either the spread of fire, structural failure, or essentially any other matter that's prescribed by the Secretary of State. So for the purpose of a building liability order, an associated company is a company which is controlled by another company or two companies which are controlled by the same third party. So for example, this applies to parent and sister companies. And an order can be made against an associated company, notwithstanding that the company with the original liability has since been wound up or dissolved. And this allows a claim to be brought where, for example, a special purpose vehicle is incorporated, purpose of a specific development, and then that is subsequently wound up upon completion of the development. It would then allow the High Court in that instant to make a sister or parent company liable for any claim under either Section 38 of the Building Act, Section 1 and 2 of the Defective Premises Act, and claims relating to building safety risks. And the High Court can make an order where it considers it to be just and equitable to do so. Each of the measures that we've discussed today all came into force on the 28th of June 2022. It is clear that these provisions increase the potential exposure of building owners and developers to potential claims. That's all we're going to cover today, so I'll hand back over to Peter.
Thanks, Charlotte. Just a quick reminder from me, you can find our entire podcast library on our website at www.sintons.co.uk should you wish to go and take a look. You can also follow the team on Twitter at Sintons Property. If you'd like to discuss anything that Charlotte has raised today further, please don't hesitate to get in touch with her. You can contact Charlotte on telephone 0191 226 7878 or via email charlotte.johnston@sintons.co.uk. Thank you very much for listening, and we hope you can join us for the next couple of episodes on this topic in the coming weeks. Thanks again.